Now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Here we are Thursday afternoon, and people are starting to think a little bit about the long holiday weekend, right? Yeah? Labor Day weekend just around the corner. Now, for many folks, you and I included, I suppose, tomorrow's just a regular work day, Friday. But there are folks who will be taking tomorrow off to make it a super-duper long holiday weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Looks like fairly good weather. No guarantee at this point, but looks pretty good for the long holiday weekend. And that's good. I was chatting with my morning colleague, Kate, earlier today. The AAA always comes out with their travel estimates and so on and so forth for a Labor Day holiday. I can never remember going away on Labor Day. Never. Even back, you know, when we were kids and living with Mom and Dad, I don't think we ever went anywhere on Labor Day. Had a picnic, of course, usually a corn roast with fresh sweet corn right out of the garden. Picked and husked and right into the water it goes, and you're eating it half an hour later, and oh boy. But I don't ever remember traveling over Labor Day. I know there are a lot of folks from the Butler area who go down to the Carolinas, the Outer Banks, many who go this time of year over Labor Day. Kind of rolling the dice, however, because hurricane season, and there have been some horror stories of folks from our area who got caught on the Outer Banks with a hurricane. And of course, there's one bearing down on somewhere along the eastern seaboard, most likely Florida, Hurricane Darien, which is now a hurricane and gaining strength. So we hope that that doesn't cause too much damage when it hits sometime over the holiday weekend. Open talk to begin the program today. Our phone number is 283-2525. Later, we're going to be chatting with Jim Diamond, a former employee at Pullman Standard. Jim has been, along with some other folks, spearheading a project to preserve the legacy of Pullman. Because we have a couple of generations now growing up who have no memory of Pullman Standard. They have no idea how massive that plant was and what a tremendous... We had thousands of people employed there, and suddenly it was gone. So anyway, they've had some ideas. We'll get an update on how that's coming along with Jim joining us a little bit later on the program today. But open talk first thing. Do you have a tree in your area that is always the earliest tree to start turning? There's a tree that I pass every day on my way into work and way home. I'm coming in, it's dark, so pretty hard to tell, but on my way home. This is, it's like a harbinger tree. It's the first tree ever that starts to show a little color, a little orange, a little red. It's some kind of a maple tree. I'm not quite sure what. But honest to goodness, a week and a half ago, I saw the first hint. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Still the middle of August. But it begins to turn. And I passed it yesterday afternoon, and there was quite a bit of red and orange in that tree. I wouldn't call it flaming foliage yet. I can remember when I was a kid. Grew up in Parker, small town along the Allegheny River. Many of you may know where it is. And there was a tree there, too. It must have been the same kind, some kind of maple. And it always started to turn in mid and late August, well before all the other trees. Kind of hate to see it, huh? I mean, fall's a beautiful time, but you hate to think of what's coming. By the way, next week, is it? We're talking with one of the editors of the Old Farmer's Almanac. Going to be joining us on the program next week, so we'll hear what they have to say about the coming winter. Okay, it's open talk, 283-2525, our number. Let's get to the people here today. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi there. How are you today?
Well, I'm just dandy. How are you?
I'm good. I have a big tree in my backyard, and the leaves have been falling for the last 3 weeks. I've been not raking them. I've been using the lawnmower to pick them up, and it's a maple tree.
Maple?
Not even, they don't even change colors. You know, they're already falling.
There are, and I think it's wild cherry trees that, I mean, they start dropping leaves in July. They don't change color either, but it's just a type of tree.
I have one of those in the side of my yard, too, yes. The leaves turn, they drop, and then the leaves brown, you know, like a brown leaf. And
yeah, kind of a yellow-brown, yeah.
And I heard we're going to have a very interesting wintry weather this winter. A lot of snow, January, February, March.
I heard the general word from Farmer's Almanac, but we're going to get the specific word for our area when we talk to them next week. But, hey, you know, it's going to be snow in January and February. It doesn't take much of a sage to figure that out. I mean, you've got to figure that's
really
going to happen, right. You know.
Well, we're supposed to have a little more than normal, so we'll see.
Okay. Hey, good to talk with you.
You have a good day.
And you. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. I was talking with somebody just a couple of days ago about how our weather finally, over the last month, started to dry out. You know, June and July were still very, very wet. And it was the second of summer in a row when we just had rain after rain after rain and landslide and all kind of other stuff. We did turn the page, though, for most of this month of August. Now, we had a couple of rain days. There was one day during the farm show that it rained. But by and large, we've been able to start to dry out a little bit over the past month. Hopefully it'll stay dry for at least September, huh? September can be a gorgeous month. In fact, today has kind of that September feel, doesn't it? There was not a cloud in the sky early this morning. We do have a few puffy white clouds right now. There's still a lot of blue. But this is a very typical September-type day. And why not? We're only a few days away from September. Open talk at 283-2525, 283-2525. 2525. Back to school this week for most students. Butler area school students get a couple of extra days because of massive problems with their transportation software. It was too bad that this wasn't discovered until just before school started. I'm not sure whether it was just installed or whatever, but all of a sudden, a couple of days before the start of school, they realized these massive problems. And good idea, I think, when the administration decided yesterday to delay the start of school, you know, saying, let's get this straightened out here, and we don't want to have any safety concerns. And it's my understanding they're actually going to have some practice bus runs to make sure that everything is copacetic and ready to go. And then they'll start school on Tuesday, which a lot of folks would say, it's okay. In the olden days, everybody waited until after Labor Day to start classes anyway. 283-2525 is our number. I saw a story on the wire a couple of days ago, I guess, about how many students, how many kids these days are so stressed out about going back to school. I don't remember that. I enjoyed school for the most part. You know, you had a couple of teachers you didn't care for. I kind of enjoyed going back to school, back with friends that you hadn't seen for a few months. But today, according to a new study done by the Mental Health America organization found that nearly half of all teens say they're very stressed out. Going back to school, they're worried about getting good grades. They're worried about preparing for the future. They're worried about body appearance. Well, yeah, that's a big thing when you're a teenager. And juggling priorities. Stressed out. I mentioned this earlier in the week and had an email from one of our listeners who said, I don't think today's active shooter drills at school are any more stressful than the Cold War nuclear attack drills back in the 60s. He said, I can remember those, and those were kind of harrowing, too. And how ridiculous were those? Do you remember those? If you're a baby boomer, you probably do. We were told to crawl under our desk in case of a nuclear attack, which is absolutely the silliest thing you could imagine. It's not going to make a bit of difference, crawling under a desk. But I can remember having a couple of those drills. Yeah, I would be stressful. Back in those days, we had great concerns about a possible war with the Soviet Union. The Cold War was going on. There were some people that had bomb shelters. Yeah. And, yeah, we had drills where you crawled under your desk for a couple of minutes. So, stressful, too. But today, today for teenagers, it's got to be a heck of a lot more stressful than it was for those of us who have been out of school for a while. I mean, just so many more distractions and concerns today. Topped off by, the mass violence that we've had in so many of the schools. We never had to deal with that before, right? No. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk here on the It's Your Turn program today. We'll take a quick break. Be back to talk a little bit more in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. Back after this.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Summer may be coming to an end soon, but at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, they're already preparing for fall gardening. There's still time to plant lettuce, peas, radishes, turnips, and onions. New bird baths are also in stock, and check out all the amazing items for your pets, including both hemp joint and hemp calming soft chews for cats and dogs. And don't forget flea and tick collars, traps, and sprays. They have it all, from bone-eyed Japanese beetle traps to Mrs. Wage's salsa and pickle mixes at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, Monroe Street in Butler.
Welcome back. It's the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Trump voters, are you still supportive of President Donald Trump? His poll numbers have been dropping pretty steadily. Of course, we'll be seeking re-election next year. Those of you who voted for Trump in 2016, and the majority of people in Butler County did. He carried Butler County handily. Are you still in his camp? Are you planning to vote for him again next year? Or are you looking at perhaps voting for a Democrat? I think for a lot of people it will depend on who the Democrats nominate. Huh? If they do something stupid, like nominating Hillary Clinton 3 years ago, well, then that's going to cloud some people's judgments. Or what about people who did not vote for Trump back in 2016? Have you changed? Do you now support him? 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Have you changed your mind one way or another about Donald Trump? 283-2525, the number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Dave, before you were talking a week or so ago about the stickers for the car.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is they said they about saving $2 or $3 million by not printing the stickers, but now they're saying that nobody's getting their car inspected. Thousands of people. But how are they not getting their car inspected if they don't register through the mail to get to? Do you see what I'm trying to say?
No, I understand, but there are some people, apparently quite a few, who have just decided they're not going to renew their registration. And how will police know? I mean, there's no sticker on your license plate anymore.
You know? Yeah, but how about if you don't register your car, how do you get it inspected?
Well, maybe when your inspection comes due, then they register.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. Myself, I don't. I register my car. The proposal.
Yeah, I do too, and I just figured that if you don't register it, you don't get a owner's card to get it inspected, and then that would be there'd be no sticker on your windshield. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about that, but whenever you, in fact, I just got my car inspected a few weeks ago. You have to, for the mechanic, you have to leave your registration card and your insurance card.
That's right.
You know, or they won't give you, they won't inspect your car. So that's a good point.
But they're saying that nobody's. Since they did away with the sticker, they're not registering their car, so I can't figure how they're not getting it inspected. And if they're not getting it inspected, then it should show on the windshield, and they should be able to pick that up.
Yeah. I guess the concern by police, and I really haven't talked with any police officers about this, but their concern is, you know, when they're out on routine highway patrol, they can tell instantly by looking at it, they could before, at a license plate, whether or not, you know, a person's registration was up to date.
Right.
And now, unless they run your plate through their computer system, and obviously the police don't just, you know, run plates at random. I mean, there would be no, would take too much time.
I understand that. Yeah.
And
I can't figure how they don't get in. If they don't register, they don't get a registration, and just like you said, you got your car inspected. Well, they wouldn't be able to do that.
I see your point, but the Wire story that I saw when we were talking about this a week or so ago, there's a sizable number of people who aren't registering because PennDOT said they were going to save $2 or $3 million by not printing and mailing out these little stickers, but they've apparently lost more than $30 million from people who have not registered their vehicles. So, I mean,
So if they're not registering their vehicle, how do they get it inspected?
The interesting thing to me, the proposal by the state lawmaker, it was somebody from out in the eastern part of the state, I forget his name, but the interesting thing to me was his bill that he's going to be introducing would combine the stickers. You would get one sticker. You'd get your car inspected and you'd register it at the same time, and it would go on your windshield, I believe.
Yeah.
Who knows how it's going to all shake down?
Yeah. I just was confused about how they're getting a car inspected if they don't have the registration.
Do you always remember when you need to get your car inspected?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I forget. I have to look at I'll look at the sticker and I'll say, oh, my gosh, that's right, that's coming up.
Yeah.
The problem with me is my vehicle registration, my license registration runs out in March, and my state inspection runs out in July. So if it all happened at the same time, it would be a lot more convenient for me.
Right. It used to be that way.
It did. It did indeed. Yeah. You're absolutely right. That was back in the days when you got a new license plate in the mail every year.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call. You raise a good point.
All right.
Nice to talk with you. Thanks. 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk. Go to this line next.
Hi
there, caller. Can you turn your radio down? We're getting a lot of feedback here.
Not from me.
Are you on a cell phone? We can barely make you out here.
Hello?
Yes, we're losing your signal. Are you on a cell phone?
I am, yes.
Okay, well, go ahead. We'll do the best we can to hear you here.
My thing is, like, what you just said about your registration runs out 1 month and your inspection another month. That's
yes,
part
uh-huh.
of the new bill to make that all happen in the same month.
Yes, that's
and,
what I was...
You know, with the window sticker.
I would appreciate that myself.
In the state of Texas. You know, there, you go get your car inspected, and you got to prove that, and then you go register your vehicle. They give you a sticker that goes on the windshield. You have both.
Seems to make sense, doesn't it? Okay, I think he's fading away there, but he said in the state of Texas. I don't know whether he's lived there or knows somebody that lives there. That's the way they do it. You get your car inspected, and you pay your registration, you're on your registration, and you get a sticker that goes on your windshield. I kind of hope that passes. I think that would be a convenience. And, you know, every state does it differently. I have a friend who lives in Virginia. I never knew this. She said you have to pay a tax on your car every year. You know, it's like a property tax or a real estate tax. I don't know what it is, but this is not just registering your car to get a sticker for your license. You have to pay, it's considered personal property, and you pay a tax on it in Virginia. Virginia is for lovers. Maybe not. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more of the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. What a gorgeous day, huh? Just beautiful. Back with more coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Be right back.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
With winter weather just around the corner, contact a qualified service technician to ensure that your propane system is operating safely. Make sure that everyone in your family knows what propane smells like and what to do in the event of a gas leak, including knowing where the gas supply valve is and when and how to safely close it. Call us today to learn more.
Brought to you by the Pennsylvania Propane Gas Association and your local propane service providers.
Owning an LS tractor is about a lot of things.
For me, it's about lift capacity.
It's about the hydraulics.
Owning an LS, it's about how well it's made.
Steel, baby.
More features.
Standard features.
It's about the land.
Making it better.
Having something to pass down.
It's about owning the best.
Find your local LS dealer at lstractorusa.com and see what it's about for you.
Everyone's trying to beat the heat, so why bring it into your kitchen? There's no need to slave over a hot stove when you can go to Michael's Restaurant. They're cooking burgers, hoagies, pizzas, soups, and salads to feed the entire family. So relax, stay cool, and take the family to Michael's Restaurant, Route 422 in Butler.
Welcome back, good friends. Great to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program here on a Thursday. And, wow, Great to talk to our guests who have arrived and they're here in the studio today. Let's say hello, first of all, to Jim Diamond. Jim, always good to see you.
Thank you, Dave. Good to be here.
What happened to that microphone? Come off there.
I touched it.
Oh, okay. Well, no problem. On a gorgeous day like today, I hate to bring you inside, but nice to have you here anyway.
Yes. Thank you.
And we also say hi to John Mahler. John, good to see you again, for goodness sakes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Yeah.
We want to get an update. Jim Diamond and some other folks, former Pullman employees, as John is, they're trying to make sure that we don't lose the legacy of Pullman Standard, the history of Pullman Standard. And they're mounting some efforts to make sure that that doesn't happen. It's hard to believe, Jim, that there are couple of generations now, actually, who have no personal memory of Pullman Standard here in Butler, right?
That's right. Well, we closed in 82. So
that's 82, 92, up to that.
A long time.
Yeah. I used to be able to figure that out.
I know.
Since we're into the new millennium now, it makes it a little bit more difficult. It's over 30 years, going on 40 years.
And like you say, people just really don't know what was involved in that, on that field down there.
Don't even, I mean, for a while, you could visualize how big it was, but much of the property has now been redeveloped. And so, you know, some of the younger generations have no idea how big it was. They have no idea that there were thousands of people that worked there every day.
Thousands, and the that property ran roughly from that bridge that goes to Route 8
mm-hmm.
to Pillow Street.
So that's the Picklegate Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to Pillow Street. I mean, I don't know how many acres it was. It was gargantuan, that plant.
I think it was, I got a number here.
Was it 200 acres?
It was 200 and something. Yeah. And now it's commercial-like, you know.
Yeah, for most of it. In fact, we have a new medical facility that just opened there.
A very nice medical center.
Mm-hmm.
244 acres.
Wow. 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 John, you worked there. What did you do at the Pullman Standard plant?
I started in the labor department in January of 1937 and left for 3 years to go to the military during the war.
Mm-hmm.
When I come back, I became a small supervisor, and after 41 years, I retired as the system production manager.
Wow.
So,
41 years there with the...
40, well, back then, Dave, when you if you worked there and went to the military, they gave you credit on your time. You were away if you went back within 6 months mm-hmm. when you was released from the military. They gave you credit for that time.
Well, rightly so, for goodness yeah. sakes. You were off fighting a war, you know.
Yeah.
Heavens.
They gave you credit.
Yeah.
When we left, they gave us, each one of us, a month's salary, what amounted to a month's salary. And I think I got $140-some dollars back then for a month's salary. I was a clerk then.
Yeah. My, my. Well, to bring, just in case there are some people who are listening in the car and they're going to have to leave us before we wrap up here today, your efforts to make sure that the history of Pullman, the legacy, is not lost. You were originally talking, Jim Diamond, about some kind of banners or something, but I understand that plan has changed now?
That plan is, it's not the top of the line. We investigated... being able to hang those banners on the existing light poles
mm-hmm.
and found that those light poles with wind loads were no good. So we couldn't use them. We did find some brackets that had that would work. They would blow out of the way with the wind and then return.
Mm-hmm.
But they were pretty much out of our price range. So as far as those banners are concerned, we're still working on getting three banners. As you come off Hanson Avenue and get down into the old Pullman property, that road. And what we want to do with that is put three banners up. One would be George Pullman, One would be Diamond Jim Brady, mm-hmm. and one would be John Hansen, because those were the guys. Well, actually, George Pullman did not contribute anything to the plant. He died several years before it became Pullman Standard,
mm-hmm.
when Pullman Company and Standard Steel Car merged. George wasn't around, but his influence was around. So he's always part of the group. So we want to put banners on those as you enter the old Pullman property.
So this would be, is that Hollywood Drive? I can't remember for sure the name. It's the road that comes down off Hanson Avenue, right. into the where the Social Security office, mm-hmm. is now, and all the other, yes. redevelopments there.
That's where it is.
So you'd put those banners there. Well, that would be nice.
We want to do that because those are the people who got it started.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we're trying to raise some money with the license plates. And so we're selling them. We have seven vendors that have agreed to help us out.
So this is the concept of a memento souvenir license plate. This, mm-hmm. is a new development, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we, as I said, we have seven vendors, American Legion Post 778. That's the one with the tank. I can never remember.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindora Hotel, King's Restaurant, Tim Tittler, Going Poster that you advertised for,
mm-hmm.
Butler Florist, and Minuteman. And Minuteman, I was looking at this, that's the only business that's on that property that's involved with us. It's, mm-hmm. kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in that Pullman Commerce Center, yeah. building. Mm-hmm.
So those are the people, if you want to see or buy the license plates, go there.
So they'll all like have a sample or something?
They have a little display we've made,
mm-hmm.
and you can buy them.
I've got this is the prototype here,
yes.
that you have. This is very, very nice. Let me try to describe it for our radio listeners. If you get real close to your radio, maybe you can see it. I don't think so. It's basically a white standard license plate size, which you could put on the front of your car, I guess. And there's an outline in black of looks like a hopper car.
It is a hopper car.
Would have been manufactured, and it says Pullman Standard, Butler, PA, 1902 to 1982. And you'll be selling these? Is that the deal?
Yes. Yeah. We sell those at these stores.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have volunteered to put information about us on their Facebooks. We do have our own page. It'll come up here in a minute, where you can reach us.
Have you set a price for these yet, Jim?
$10.
Oh, wow, that's not bad.
That's not bad. Yeah. And where did it go? They're made by, that's all local. Star Imaging on Center Avenue did all the work for us.
Beautiful job.
Yeah, we're kind of trying to stay with local people, local businesses, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Really nice. Now, you could put this on the front of your vehicle if you wanted to, but heck, you could put it on a shelf in your living
game room.
Yeah.
Hang it in the garage. We don't care. You know.
Really very attractive. Very nice. And weatherproof.
Yeah, it's aluminum.
I was going to ask you what it is. I couldn't quite figure it out.
The plate itself is aluminum. And then they magically, in today's, they paint that on. And it's crazy to watch what they do with that. They run 60-some at a time. We did buy 128 license plates, so whenever we're hoping we get rid of those, we can go buy some more.
Mm-hmm. And what happens to the money? Are you going to use that for further development of maintaining the legacy of Pullman?
Well, the money we get from that will go into, one, the three banners on the road we discussed.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We also we have some other things in mind. Here's what I was looking for. Our website for your listeners is pshistfund@gmail.com. pshistfund@gmail.com.
So you can get information there.
You can get information there, yeah. Hmm. In addition to the banners that are going to go up there, we still are hoping to get enough funds to put a plaque or something beside the covered hopper car that says what it is. People come in and look and say, that's real nice, but what is it and why is it here?
Yeah.
And this way, just it's a similar to as you come off Hanson Avenue and go down in, there's a big sign for the Jeep. It'd be similar to that.
Yeah, that's Pennsylvania Historical Society. Yeah. By the way, they need to trim the hedge around that thing.
They do.
It's getting a little hard to see
it's
it.
It's getting hard.
The hedge is growing up. But, for those of us who've been around here for a while, you come across the Picklegate Crossing Bridge, and you look down, you see that bright yellow hopper car, and you say, oh, wow, and I made a Pullman. But there are a couple of generations now that would have no idea why that car's there.
Yeah, it's funny. Why is that there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a reasonable question today.
It's right outside the Butler Transit Authority's headquarters.
Yes.
And soon there'll be even more traffic down there because they'll be getting a park and ride and so on and so forth. So you want something to identify the car.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the Transit Authority. They have been very good to us, John Paul, his office staff, and we have our meetings down at that building. So they've been very good to give us a little bit of room. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important.
John Mahler is here. John is, to the best of our knowledge, the oldest living former Pullman employee, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is amazing because John's only like 67 years old.
It's hard to believe.
Doesn't seem so long ago that I started there.
1937, huh?
Yeah.
Was it as big then as it was at its peak whenever they were? And, you know, when Pullman was at its peak, and this would have been in the 60s and 70s, it had 2,500 employees.
Yes, yes.
2,500 employees. Was it that big back when you started there, John?
It wasn't that big when I started, because the Depression was just over, and mm-hmm. there was no money out there for the railroads to buy cars. So then Pullman didn't work too steady in the 30s. They'd get a contract, and they'd maybe work for 2 or 3 months fulfilling that contract, and there wasn't anything for another 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm. So they got another big contract from some other railroad.
Yeah, sure.
And then along in the 60s, Pullman started another company, Pullman Transport Leasing. So they built cars for themselves. We built cars and sold them to Pullman Transport Leasing, which was a part of our company.
I didn't know that.
At a reduced figure, then they leased them out to different vendors and that.
Mm-hmm.
So then we started to work pretty steady then, starting about, along about 1960, which was steady work then. Before, if you worked at Pullman, you had to have another source of income. You had to be a farmer. You had to cut timber. You had to do something. Pullman only worked 3-4 months a year, the mm-hmm. worker. Mm-hmm. That's all there was. The rest, they were down.
So it picked up after World War II. That's when
right.
it really started
yeah.
to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it started out, Jim Diamond, you ought to refresh my memory on this. It started out as the Standard Steel Car Company, right?
That
was the original name here in Butler.
That's correct.
And then at some point later on, it merged with Pullman and became Pullman Standard. Because Pullman was out of Chicago, and isn't that the headquarters for Pullman?
And they were really not freight people. They were passenger builders.
They made sleeper cars. Yeah, that's famous Pullman sleeper car.
That's where it came from. I have a little note here. It says 1927, Forge Steel employed 1,600 employees, merged into the Columbia Steel, and that was sold to American Rolling Mill, and that became Armco.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sequence. We talked the last time, too, about the quantities, and I think this kind of people can understand this. The amount of material that we used every day was crazy. In one day, they handled, shaped, welded 1,000 tons of steel.
This is in one day, folks.
One day.
One day.
I thought this was the gallons of paint. We had 1,800 gallons of paint per day. 1,800 gallons of paint. That's 33 55-gallon drums. I can understand what a 55-gallon drum is, but there were 33 a day to paint the cars.
Well, think about 1,800 gallons of paint, yeah. And they use that every single day.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I have to take a quick break here, but I wish, you know, if you had a time machine, I would love to go back to the 1960s and just be able to stand on the Picklegate Bridge and look at Pullman, how it was humming, turning out that many railroad cars every single day, the employees going in and out of the plant. I mean, what a massive operation that was.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll take a quick break. Back to talk more with John and Jim here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. And they'd like to take just a minute and give out a big thank you to so many people who, once again, at the farm show earlier this month, a few weeks back, participated in the 4-H and FFA Junior Livestock Auction. And they purchased animals, had them processed for the meat, and then donated the meat products to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. And there were companies, there were organizations that did this, there were individuals who did this, and then donated the meat products to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Thank you so very, very much. A real treat for the needy families who rely on the food bank. And there are some companies and individuals who have done this for many, many years. So, a big thank you from the folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They help the needy in three different ways. They run a food bank. It's on Elm Street in the city of Butler, Lower Institute Hill. They have the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart, Route H just south of the city. And they also have a client aid program. Society of St. Vincent de Paul, we stand the tallest when we stoop to help others.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem, the bus will get you there. Cause that's what we do.
Hop the bus,
leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Great to have you with us, folks, on the It's Your Turn program for Thursday as we get ready to head into the long Labor Day holiday weekend. Here we are Thursday afternoon. Some people are feeling that long holiday weekend already. Just to bring you up to date, if you're joining us a little bit late on this segment of the program, I'm Dave Malarkey. Two guests with us here in the studio, Jim Diamond and John Mahler. Here's the thing. I guess you called, Jim, you called Matt Warhite.
Yes.
Last year, and we talked to him about how Pullman Standard was almost forgotten by many, especially younger people here in Butler. And could you do something to try to keep the history alive, to make sure that the Pullman legacy lived on? And you got some former employees together, and you had your first meeting last fall, I think, right?
Last fall, we meet second Wednesday of every month at the Transit Authority building. We've got Matt has been a big help. We've got several that have really, really stepped up. But the people who are active are John Campbell, Bob Hilliard, John Mahler, Dave Morris, Bill Swanson, Ed Wadding, Mike Waldron, and Matt Warhite. And they're pretty faithful, and they speak what they want, and they, you know, we have a good time, too. It's the meetings are half productive and half...
As they should be.
Yeah,
when you're doing a little reminiscing.
Do you remember who? Do you remember this? Yeah. So we have a good time, and we're starting to do that. Another thing, and I did forget, in addition to the banners that we propose, we're going to put a flag up on the existing flagpole at the Transit Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be similar to the license plate, that same.
Well, that's a good idea, because that will be visible, depending on how much of a breeze we have, that'll be visible from the Picklegate Crossing Bridge from Hanson Avenue. That'll be nice.
So that's another place we will spend some money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Preserving the legacy of Pullman Standard. The only thing that's left is the office building, right? There's nothing else left from the Pullman plant.
Yeah, there's. If my memory's correct, John may correct me. If you get them down and you want to go into the bus property,
mm-hmm.
Immediately there's a doctor's office and there's a building. I think that building was the ladies' restroom.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And I think after I left, there was a new maintenance building built.
Yeah.
I think that's still standing.
Yes.
I think that's still standing.
Yeah, I think that's being used.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's, I don't know that was Pullman's, though.
That's about all.
Yeah.
But the office building, which is a marvelous piece of architecture, by the way, is still there. I hope that can be saved. It looks like it keeps deteriorating year after year, and you know, I hope it could be saved. There were some plans 3 or 4 years ago to convert it into senior citizen housing, and that kind of fell through.
I don't know. It'll be a tough one to do because it's been basically abandoned, at least from observation, with windows and birds and weather.
Yeah, it would take a tremendous amount of money to fix it up.
Resurrect it, but it was gorgeous. Marble, beautiful building.
So did you work in that building?
I did.
Did you?
I did. If you are down by a Minuteman,
mm-hmm.
and you look up, bottom row, right hand, that was my corner.
And you were an engineer, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I started in plant engineering and then moved to freight car engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another note here for you. When do you think they took all the buildings down? Remember all the shop, they cut all those down?
I have no idea.
2005.
Huh.
Yeah, and I used to drive by there, was like, I can't believe it. I got a chance one time after it was closed, after the machines were gone, a machine that I designed was visible from Route 8, and I wanted to take a picture of it. So I went down to the gate, and I knew the guys and told them what I wanted, and they gave me a golf cart. Go find it. Do whatever you want. So, because nothing was there. And I was driving all through those buildings, and it was really weird. I knew where I was, but you really, there was no machines. There was nothing to identify.
At one point, and I'm looking at a fact sheet that Jim Diamond provided me, at one point there were 1,400 welding machines.
Yes.
Inside there. Think about this, folks. 1,400 welding machines. They built railroad cars there, and they needed track to move cars and skeletons of cars and so on and so forth. There were more than 15 miles of railroad track within that plant. I mean, these are mind-boggling numbers.
Yeah.
It's all gone now.
All gone.
Wow. Hmm. Well, I certainly hope. Oh, here's another number. Overhead cranes, have you seen them? Like in big, Armco has them now, overhead cranes. How many of those do you think they had? 36 high-capacity overhead cranes. I just can't imagine what it must have been like to be inside that building when it was humming.
It was a zoo. They have also had a lot of jib cranes.
What's that?
Well, a column was holding up the roof, and they put a bar out, like, and you could run a small crane, just to hand operate it, for lifting things that you couldn't lift,
mm-hmm.
not the high capacity. I don't know how many of those jib cranes. They were all over the place.
You were, John Mahler, when you came back after your service in World War II, you were a supervisor, did you say?
I was an area supervisor. To start with, yeah.
In what area were you supervising?
Little history. My father started back in Pullman in about 1903,
mm-hmm.
and he was a supervisor, and we got a new manager during the war. The old one got sick, and they brought a new manager in, and my father got along pretty good with the new manager, and when I come home from the service, I was introduced to the new manager, and just like that, he said, would you like to become a supervisor? And I sure didn't have anything else in mind, so I became a supervisor. And then my father, at the old Pullman, it was mandatory as a supervisor to retire at 65 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
But during the war, a lot of those supervisors became 65, 66, 67, and they agreed to stay on.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come home, there was probably 100 supervisory jobs open because the men were all over age, including my father.
So that's why
that's
you were
how,
able to
that's
move
why
in.
There were so many young supervisors put on at one time.
Yeah. At its peak, did the Pullman plant work around the clock, 24 hours a day, or just a daylight shift?
The Pullman worked strictly 8 hours a day, except for machinery that couldn't produce certain parts in 8 hours, so they would work 16-hour. There was very little done on the midnight to morning shift. But at one time, in the 60s, I'm going to use something personal. The welding, there were so many welding machines that we couldn't fulfill the orders on daylight. Because if you draw in too much electricity, you'd shut the transformers down.
Uh-huh, okay.
And then there was no work. So in the 60s, I got moved to the afternoon shift in charge of the plant, and daylight built 30 cars. The afternoon shift built 23, and I did that for 3 years. So it was more or less, then we had the tracks to do the job, mm-hmm. but we didn't have the electricity to take all that current through there.
Mm. So there would have been, with that number of cars being turned out every day, they would be constantly being shipped out by rail from Butler to other parts of the country.
Right. Yes.
Did all the major railroads buy cars from Butler? I mean, like B&O and New York Central and Pennsylvania Railroad and everything?
I would say over the years, yes. Union Pacific was big, a big customer.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there were a lot more railroads back then, too, back in those days.
Yeah, they've all merged.
And they probably sent in big orders, so that would depend on how many people were working, too, whether they had a big order or not.
We'd get 2,500 cars, right, John?
One thing, the railroads, when they needed cars, they needed them now. They were always hesitating. They never planned too far ahead.
Yeah.
So when they needed cars, they needed as soon as they could get them. Well, we could give them 53 cars a day, where some people would take them a year to set up to build those cars. So, but that's why we got the orders in, and we were competitive, too. And when Pullman put out a car, it had a 5-year warranty on it. Anything went wrong with that car for 5 years, we had a fund that took care of that. So we had a reputation for quick delivery and a quality-built product.
Can you think about that, folks?
That's why we got so many orders over a little plant that would put out 5 a day or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine, but just think about that in your mind's eye. 53 railroad cars a day. Rolling out of that Pullman plant here in Butler. Wow.
When they changed from when there were different designs in the models, we had jigs and fixtures that were up in the yard, up like maybe where Kmart would be. And they were on flatbed trains, and they'd bring different jigs down, because we were going to make this car instead of that car.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go through, and as the last car went through this position, there was the new jig was put in. And they didn't miss many days. It was like they started maybe in the morning with a certain car, and at the end of the day they were building another car. Am I right, John?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Well, listen, we want to make sure that, in case you weren't with us at the beginning of our conversation, there's a group of former employees, two of them are with us here, and they want to make sure that the history of Pullman Standard in Butler is never lost and never forgotten. And right now they've got a memento souvenir license plate that's available. Very nice, Pullman Standard 1902-1982. And Jim Diamond, you listed at the beginning of our conversation the several vendors here locally where people can buy these,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Can we go over that list again? Do you have that in front of you there?
I just happen to have it here. Michael Kozar, American Legion Post. That's the one that has the tank. That's all I remember.
Right, Lindor, up in the hill above Lindora there, yeah.
Everybody knows where the Lindora Hotel is.
Mm-hmm.
King's. Tim Titler is a retail outlet, and he's located on, I believe, Kohler Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Going Postal, Butler Florist, and Minuteman Press.
Okay. Or you could check on to your website and get information there about these souvenir license plates. Very nice. And that'll help to fund the banners that are going to go up on the poles leading into the former Pullman location. And it'll help to fund a plaque that they'd like to put up next to that hopper car, that brilliant yellow hopper car that's proudly on display outside the Butler Transit Authority offices. Well,
and a flag.
And a flag that'll be on the flagpole down there, too, proudly waving in the breeze, saying, this is where they built the railroad cars. This was Pullman Standard way back when. Well, nice to get an update on this. Keep us posted now.
Thank you.
Came up with other plans, too. But beyond that, it's just great to see and talk to the two of you again. It's good to see you. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. John Mahler, Jim Diamond. Hey, coming up on tomorrow's program, we have guests coming in. We're going to be talking. How do I reach over here? We have guests coming in tomorrow to talk about the Family to Family program under the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the NAMI group. Linda Schmidtmeyer will be here tomorrow to talk about that. And we'll also have guests from St. Barnabas. Paul Morrow and Shelley Somariva will be with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Program note, Steeler football on WISR tonight. Billy Hillgrove will be calling the live radio play-by-play right here on WISR. 7 o'clock kickoff tonight. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you tomorrow for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Well, my hands are shaking and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Well, please. Me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, gonna feel fine when I'm near the girl that I love best. My heart beats so it's